Eli. I appreciate that. That's powerful love.
That was okay.
I don't know what he said.
He said, "Dear Jesus, I love Grandpa," and then I couldn't hear after that.
God, summer break.
Spring break.
Many times over the years when I have done funerals, there's always a, I've noticed when I've, the funerals that I've gone to and people have moved on, that they would carry the casket from the back of the hearse to the gravesite. And there was dead silence except for the pressing of feet against the grass or the dirt or whatnot. And I started saying and reciting the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. Or I shall walk.
Not want?
Not want. I can see, this might be rough. But you know, many times when we're in the place, it's always good to hear Justin laugh. When he does my funeral, I'm counting on him to give the sermon. Dictating all my faux pas and my mistakes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. So you're in for a treat. No, I'm not, you know, I'd like, don't push the button too quick. But I do want to talk to you tonight that part of the song, of the 23rd Psalm is, and you could probably say it with me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Tonight I want to speak about something that is on my heart, and I'm going to let you in on it. I want to also thank Josh for the teaching he does on Thursday night. Josh, the mosaic that you're painting for us is a step that is wonderful, because most of us want to go by rope, line upon line, which the scriptures that tell us to do. But you're speaking of the scriptures in a mosaic. And the scriptures are not only made up of God speaking to his people, but it's also made up of experience that people go through with their relationship with God and with their one another. You encounter angels, you encounter people, and yes, even you encounter demons. So our walk in this life is an interesting walk. And I want to talk to you about something tonight that is on me that I want to share with you. So this is more for me, not that you can't share in it, than maybe you could realize or for you, but I hope you enjoy it too. If you go to Matthew 16:13, if you go in your Bibles there, I think it's appropriate. Matthew 16:13. Tell me when you're there.
There,
that's a good sign. I'm not there yet, but I'll get there. Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. When Jesus came into the borders of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist." Bless those reincarnationists. "Some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he said unto them, "But who say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou," say it with me, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, a little rock, and upon this massive rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Flesh and blood has not revealed me to you, Jesus said. And I want you to consider yourselves for a moment, because I contemplate this all the time. We have received Jesus. The greatest event in our life. We realize that God didn't come, as quoting Ravi Zacharias, to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. Before we received Jesus, we were dead in trespasses and sin. I don't have to review this with you. You all know that. But when we receive Jesus, all of a sudden, we can look behind us and we can look down into a pit that we're destined for, but for Jesus. And Jesus makes a proclamation. The proclamation is, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this, but my Father which is in heaven." We that have received Jesus and his righteousness by grace through faith have to understand something. This revelation of who Jesus the Christ is didn't come through us through the pages of reading a Bible or listening to a wonderful sermon or a tape. It was a direct revelation of the Father to you personally. That's why Kathy is born again. That's why Beth is born again. God the Father revealed his Son to you. Personal. And each one of us have had that revelation. Sometimes that revelation comes in the strangest places. I can tell you story after story of the strangest places people have received Jesus or had a revelation of who Jesus is. I hope this person that is going through in the ambulance has a revelation. How special is each and every one of us to the Lord? And it says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." Jesus is the Logos, or the Word. He's the personification of all truth. And the Father in heaven, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, has revealed his only begotten Son, who was born 2,000 years ago approximately, to you. Everybody can say, "Well, I know a lot of people that have received Jesus." Praise the Lord. But you cannot allow yourself to think for one moment that you're not unique. You're unique. There was a Chinese woman, a believer, at the turnover of when Mao Zedong came to China and introduced communism being forced into atheism. And the soldiers came to this one lady's house. She had 7 sons. This is a true story. And during the revolution, they came to her house. She had 7 sons. Her husband had passed. And the soldiers came and say, "Here's the red book. You're to believe that there's no God. If you don't renounce your Christian faith and your belief in this God, we'll kill one of your sons." And she was horrified. And think of it, you mothers. What would it be like? It would be a terrible event. She was shaken to her boots. I heard this directly from a man that served in China for many years. He spoke the language. And the mother looked up and says, "I can't renounce Jesus." He says, "Okay, what son do I shoot?" And she said, "Shoot them all." It horrified the soldier. "You mean you're willing to have me kill all your sons?" She says, "I love them more than my life." How am I going to give up one son? And the soldier bowed his head and said, oh, and just walked away. Blessed are you, Tim, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but the Father in heaven, Sylvia, the Father in heaven, Kathy, the Father in heaven, Beth, the Father in heaven, Jarvis, the Father in heaven. How unique are we? How unique that God so loved the world that he gave his son to you. To you, to me. And how should we relish each other? If a soldier came in here and made the same proclamation, you got to give up your faith or I'm going to shoot one of you. I know if they said that to Sharon. She said, shoot Kurt. Poor Kurt. No, but don't miss. This is supposed to be serious, folks.
Well, come on, I don't think he ever killed anybody.
But the point I'm trying to make is that our revelation of Jesus, given this to us by the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, is value beyond value. And I would like to talk to you tonight about two women. Two women. And I think the best place for me to begin is in Luke chapter 2. Two women. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of information quickly. I don't expect you to go to it in your Bibles, but if you want to check me out, please check it out. I don't mind at all. And in Luke chapter 2, this was the dedication of Jesus. And there, just to make the account valuable to you, she encountered two people, then later on in Jesus' walk, a third person. In Ephesians 2:9, God has given to the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Jesus had five prominent wounds. Five is the number of grace. Why were these five ministries given to the church? It was for the perfecting of the saints, for the ministry to the body. And I become very concerned when churches dismiss the value of the apostle and prophet. They accept the teacher, the evangelist, the pastor, but they have trouble with apostolic and prophet ministries in this generation. But yet we see Jesus, whom we are growing into from moving into him. We see Jesus, who at his dedication had the ministry of his mother, which is pastoral. Joseph was there, apostolic. Simeon was there, a teacher. Anna, the prophetess. And later on, the evangelist, John the Baptist. He had five ministries at his dedication. Now, I know there are types and shadows, and people may not see it that way, but that's the way I see it. But I want you to keep in mind that in chapter 2 of Luke, there was an opportunity for one lady named Anna. In chapter 2, starting at verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. Let's talk about this Anna. That's the only part of Scripture that records this way. She came from a tribe, Asher. If you go back in the Old Testament, in the prophetic that was given by Jacob, Israel, Asher speaks of happy, oil, royal dainties. The father Penuel, a face of God, what it means. And I want you to know something, that she was married for 7 years and was widowed for 84. How old do you think she was? If she was, if in some suggest, and I tend to agree with it, that she was probably married about the age of 15 to 16. In other words, how old would she have been? 107 years old, plus or minus. She came from the tribe of Asher, like children. Now, the question I ask you, she was a prophetess. But I want you to notice that she was not only a widow, 80, who was, she was a widow of about 84 years, who departed not from the temple. And notice that, departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, not like Simeon moseying in, she came in that instant, gave thanks unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Anna, for many years I pondered this prophetess. And I thought to a moment, her husband must have died when she was around 20. But the rest of her life was in the temple of God. It doesn't say how she supported herself, but she says she was in the temple 84 years, night and day, praying and fasting. What do you think she did? We're here in a small body. After 84 years, do you think she got to know the people that came in the temple all the time?
Yes.
Do you think she saw the hypocrisy in the church or in the temple?
Yes.
Do you think she saw a lot of things? How many people do you think she ministered to in 84 years? Like laying hands on people. Thank you. How many years was she fasting and praying for people she would come in to see, that would come into the temple to cry out to God in their hopelessness, that she would pray for or fast for? I recall a speech that pretty near broke me from many of you heard of Mother Teresa. Thank you, Andrew. I'm glad you heard.
Well, I know who she is.
Yeah, good. And she was in India, and her whole life was dedicated to the dying on the streets of Calcutta. She was committed to giving solace to those that were dying. And many times, she would go into the streets of Calcutta where people were dying from disease or age or some other incident. And she would grab them in her arms, no matter what these people were like, if they had soiled themselves, if they were all bloody, or if they were all muddy and they stank and they never took them, she would hold them in her arms and comfort them. She did the same thing with children and babies. Many of you know she received the Nobel Peace Prize. And of course, the money that she received from that went to charity to take care of babies. And before this great audience of dignitaries, they asked her to give a talk. And she said, Jesus loves the little children. And she said, you that want to give up your babies to abortion, give them to me. I'll take them. And the assembly just bowed their head. They were so torn. This little woman, I'll take them. I'll take them. She wasn't invited back, you can imagine. The uproar was deafening. Because she understood something. Flesh and bone has not revealed this to you, Simon Barjona, but my Father which is in heaven. And she knew the value of every child, every person, no matter where they were or who they were. She saw the value. It was in her. And Anna, for 84 years in that temple, saw all sorts of life. How many times do you think she saw the crippled man outside the temple? Get to me later. When Jesus and Peter and John came to the temple, do you think Anna at that time saw this man that was there for a long time? I bet. We know she was acquainted with, she understood grief and sorrow. But her life was in God's house. How could this woman live to be 106, 110 years old? They don't tell us she died, but I assume she did. How did she live so long? I'll tell you my position on this. Maybe you'll share it with me. Jesus says, I am the light, and he is the life of the world. When you're in God's house, you're in his presence. We know that from Scripture. When two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. He is life. You don't go off oxygen if you can't breathe. She lived in the atmosphere of life and light, even though she was dealing with all the problems of society in that temple. She was a prophetess. The Spirit of God began to rest upon her. And the psalmist David, who said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, if I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How important it is that we gather together on Thursday nights and Sundays.
Very important.
Yes. Why? For life. To extend ourselves. There are times when I have come to the house of the Lord, I've been troubled. I'm sure that hasn't happened to any of you. There's times that I've been under stress. There's times that I have all these things on my mind and saying, will I ever get out of this hole? But I find myself clawing my way to the house of the Lord. Sometimes, regrettably, cutting people off as I get to the house of the Lord because I'm gunning it. I got to get to God's house. I got to get to God's house. I got to get there. Do you think I'm going there to check a box? I'm going there for life and light. What happened to Anna? She was in that temple day and night. How did she get sustained? I believe people brought food to her. That's my opinion. I believe that she retained some of her, people would give her money, but I believe she gave it back out to those in greater need. I realize something. You want to develop and your calling in God? Dwell in the house of the Lord. If you go to Chronicles or the 2 Kings, you'll find out that Solomon completed building the temple according to the pattern that God gave to King David. And there Solomon in his splendor, kneeling on a platform, lifted his hands up towards God and said, oh Lord, look upon this house. Take not your eyes from it. And if they be far away and they look toward your house, hear from heaven. Hear from heaven. How many times do we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? I think I'm afraid sometimes to go to Josh and say, Josh, you've had a chance to go to Israel and seen the Temple Mount with the temple used to be. And listen, just a side note, that may be coming sooner than you think. But anyway, there is nothing like the city, Jerusalem. Looking from the Mount of Olives on Jerusalem, I see why Jesus cried in Matthew 24, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you knew the time of your visitation. And if you go there today, you would look across the Mount of Olives, from the Mount of Olives, you'd look across the Kidron Valley to the city sitting on a hill. And many people go to the Temple Mount. But you see, brothers and sisters, each of us are temples too. When we invite Jesus into our hearts, we become a temple. What, how great is this temple when I'm joined with my brother Andrew, who I love to tease? How am I'm joined to you. Sometimes you get on my nerves. Has anybody here ever got on your nerves? Hopefully not.
No comment.
No comment.
I know that Sylvia has never considered divorce, but she has probably considered murder. So
she tells me she's got that cast iron frying pan, so yeah.
Oh no.
But why was the Spirit of God on Anna? Because her habitation was the house of the Lord. The value that she put on the temple of God, on the house of God. For me, I don't come to the house of the Lord for prayer or to the church services just to come because I'm in the habit. I come because I want the Spirit of God to rest on me, regardless if I've been naughty or nice. And I'm telling you, my whole life has been that way. I love the house of God. I love it. I love it. Even at times it's been tough. I love it. I love Jesus' house. I love it when the people gather together. I love it. I know where life is. My life is with you at the temples that contain the revelation of the Father that Jesus lives in your hearts. So what does that mean? When you come into the temple of God, we gather together. I've got to put up with Stan. And you know the tragedy is? You have to put up with me. Anna had the Spirit of God on her. And notice what it said in Scripture. That once they brought Jesus in, Anna was there instantly. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. For me, the prophetic is a well that I can draw from any time. And I want Sonship and you to have the same experience. I know that Jill can pull from a water well, and I know that God's going to open the door for that for you. I know that Josh does, and I know that Justin, Natalie, and all of you can do that. I'm telling you, there's a fountain. But the fountain is in the house of the Lord. Your commitment to it. That you would embrace those that are dying. That you would embrace the babies that people want to abort. That you would embrace one another, even though they get you upset or angry. You embrace them. Why? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you. But, say it with me, my Father which is in heaven. I said there were two of them, did I? There's another woman that I would like you to, I will minister a whole section on this later on. But there was another woman that I would like to talk to you about later. It's Diana. Josh alluded to it to Thursday night. I don't know how many, she said he thought he was going to pull a fast one. How many children did you have? And thank you, our deacon, Kelly, that's right, I forget the names. And he said, 13, this is right. 12 sons and one daughter. Can you imagine what it was like for Diana? Here she, well, Andrew, I can't pass this up. What was it like for Diana?
I imagine it was probably tough being the only female with the majority of males in the family. And considering my mom told me the stories about how she had a similar situation where she was the only female in a family of various brothers.
Yeah,
so I would understand. So yes, I do in fact believe that she had to get used to having to deal with a large house full of males and not any.
Okay, I want to ask another expert here.
Daisy.
Daisy, what's it like living with all these men? And she's only, how old is she? She's
13. She's 14.
14, that snuck up on her. Think of Daisy.
Not bad, but not good.
That's kind of a good way to describe it.
Can you imagine, Daisy, if you were with these guys when you're 30? Can you imagine Diana? Diana. Dee Dee Diana. Can you imagine that? Diana?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what she was going through?
Yes.
Can you imagine how many times she was asked to watch the kids?
Yes.
How many times she had to help cook? She was probably going crazy. And if you read Genesis, you'll find out, and we'll talk about it later, where Diana, where she said, there's got to be a better way. And what did she do? She left the family that God had put his hand on. He left the people, the church. And if you'll read Genesis, you'll find that this Dinah went and got herself in great trouble. There's always a tendency, I believe, for people that we always say sometimes, same old, same old. Have you ever said that? Same old, same old.
Yeah.
The bell goes off, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, I gotta do this. Will this stop the world I wanna get off? There was a book written that way about that. Stop the world I wanna get off. Have you ever said that? Will this rut ever end? Yeah. But the thing I'm trying to tell you is that the way you hold on to the house of God, the way you hold on to the family of God, is a commitment that Chinese woman I spoke to you about said, I love them more than all my life, so shoot them all. That's how we have to love the gathering together in the body of Christ, in the house of God, together, regardless if we've been naughty or nice. May God bless each and every one of you, because you are unique. Blessed art you, Jarvis, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you, but the Father in heaven has. And you, Andrew, believe it or not, flesh and blood has not revealed Jesus to you, but the Father in heaven. And saying to you all, may the blessings of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, be upon each and every one of you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you, and grant you peace. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.